if you heard the announcement before the Mass, you know that next Sunday, we're going to, a week from tomorrow, we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, Jesus Christ the King of the Universe. That is a celebration in advance of the coming of Christ in glory at the end of time. It's a very festive celebration, at least for those included among the sheep. It's not festive for the goats. But anyway, that's next Sunday. This Sunday, then, being the second to the last Sunday in the church's calendar, addresses the question of what we are supposed to do in the meantime. While we are waiting for Jesus Christ to come again, what must we do? While hinihintay natin para sa muling pagdating ni Jesucristo, ano ang dapat natin gawin? And the answer to that question, what must we do, can be found in Matthew chapter 25, where there are three great parables. The parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and the parable of the final judgment, which we read in the final three Sundays of this year. Last week, we read the parable of the 10 virgins. Let me just summarize it. These three parables tell us what we must do. We must keep our lamps lit and remain ready. We must invest our talents, and we must do good to others, especially when we must give food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, because whatever we do for the least of his brothers, we do for Jesus himself. Okay, so those are the three, and last Sunday we did the parable of the 10 virgins. We learned that the one thing we must do is keep the fire going. Keep the lamp lit and burning. So we must not allow ourselves to run out of oil. Now the problem is that sometimes people, when they hear that parable, it seems to them that it's encouraging some kind of selfishness. As if we're saying, keep your oil to yourself, don't share with those in need. That's a wrong interpretation of last Sunday. So today's gospel helps us recognize that our life is not about keeping things to ourselves. It's really about giving away. It's about investing, trading. This is the parable of the talents. And the story is fairly simple. You know it. There's a rich man. He's going off on a long journey. And while he's away, he expects his servants to take care of things. He entrusts one servant with 5 talents. He gives another 2 talents. And then he gives another 1 talent. Remember, a talent in those days was a huge amount of money. Huge amount. Maybe what a servant would earn in 15 years, 1 talent. So to earn 5 talents would take 75 years, meaning a whole lifetime. Okay, the first 2 servants double what they have received. The third one saves his 1 talent and gives it back to the master. And the first 2 get rewarded, and the third one gets thrown out as a useless servant. So that's the story. And like every parable, this one presents us with both heavenly wisdom and real challenge. The master represents the Lord. We are all his servants, stewards of his property, which is his kingdom, the kingdom of God. We're in charge of creation, and we're waiting for his second coming, when everything will be settled, when the accounts will be settled. Now, of course, it's not perfect. The servant image is not perfect, because God really sees us more as his children than as his servants. And he's not far away on a journey. We're not waiting for him as if he's very far away from us. But still, this image of the master and us waiting for him to return and us being servants, it's still very helpful for us to understand our situation and our responsibility in life. We are each given something. We're not all given the same thing. The parable says, to each according to his ability. But we're each given something, and that something is huge. None of us can complain that we've been cheated or treated unfairly by God, because even 1 talent is a huge amount. Just to be alive is a priceless gift. Well, now what? Arawang dapat natin gawin. What are we going to do with our talent? What are we going to do with our talents, if we have more than one? What are we going to do with our time, with our money, with our opportunities, with our minds, our bodies? What are we going to do with our life? The parable reveals what the Lord wants from us. He does not want more money. And he doesn't simply want us to return what he gave. What he wants is good and faithful servants. Friends who are not afraid of him. Stewards whom he can trust. Servants with whom he can share his joy. God's will is to share all that he has with us, every blessing, even his very life. Come, share your master's joy. Isn't that what we want to hear when we die? Come, share your master's joy. Halika, makihati ka sa aking kagalakan. And that's what God wants to say. But he wants to know if we will accept and respect his gifts. If we will live like he lives, since he wants to share his life with us. There's no sense sharing with someone who doesn't want what he has to give. God is a giver. God is a lover. He doesn't keep anything to himself. And this is what he expects to see in us, at least in some small way. He wants us to be givers, to be lovers, to be ready to risk emptying ourselves for him. When the master in the parable rewards the first two servants, listen again to what he says. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. The small matters here are the huge amounts of money. 5 talents is a fortune to us. But to God, it's small matters, practically nothing. Just a trifle, something to practice with, so that we are prepared for the real treasure that he wants to give us, a share in eternal life. Last week, the real treasure was symbolized by the entry into the wedding banquet, remember? The lamps and the oil are not the goal. They're simply the means. Once we get into the wedding feast, we don't need a lamp. Once we enter eternal life, we don't need talents. Okay, so the positive lesson here, give like God gives, love like God loves. We should not be worried about what we might lose, because God isn't worried about that. Rather, we should be concerned about what others gain. That's love. That's love. By the way, if someone tells you that they have a great investment that will double your money, don't believe that. That's a scam. But in the spiritual life, it's not a scam. The amazing thing is that a small investment brings a huge yield. Because God is a generous God. That's the way it is. Now, that's the positive lesson. But the negative lesson that we can learn by observing this third servant. What went wrong in his case? We might think, well, he doesn't seem so bad. I mean, he didn't waste the money. He didn't spend it indulging in some personal vices. He actually saved the money. No loss to the master, it looks like to us. So, what's the problem? Well, God is not looking for people who don't do anything wrong. He did not create us to be statues or robots or storage containers. He created us in his own image. We are icons of God, his representatives. If we don't love, if we don't make any effort to invest our talents, well, then we're burying that icon under the ground. You know that other parable where Jesus speaks about hiding a lamp under a bed or under a basket? That's not the right use of a lamp. A lamp is supposed to give light to others, not to itself. An icon is supposed to reveal the mysteries of God. And a human person is supposed to show the world what love is, which is another way of saying, show the world who God is. And if we don't do that, well, then we are called a wicked, lazy servant. And we lose the gift, we lose the talent that we have been given. See, the problem of this third man, this third servant, is that he has a judgment against his master. He thinks that he's a demanding person who gathers where he did not scatter. And that's not fair. He's afraid of him. This is actually a rather common attitude about God. People act and think as if he's unfair, he's unfairly demanding, and we should be afraid that he's going to use this unfair approach when he judges us. He's going to demand from us more than he gave us. That's what the third servant thinks. And that's what a lot of people seem to think, as if God is going to expect something that we just can't produce. So we better just save whatever we've got, so don't make it worse. Well, if I could be blunt about this, that's just stupid. That's a stupid way of thinking. It might be a common mistake, but it's a stupid way of thinking about God. I mean, why would God take more than he gives? He doesn't need anything from us. We don't have to be afraid of that. All God wants to do is give more. If only we will accept what he offers so that we too can give more like him. So the master in the parable is not excessively cruel to that third man when he takes away his one talent and has him thrown out. In fact, the man, you couldn't say exactly, but he almost made the master treat him that way because he expected him to be like that. He put that judgment onto himself, that servant. Okay, it's too bad in some ways that the parable ends with such a negative image. It ends with the guy thrown out and wailing and grinding his teeth. Maybe we need that image. I mean, maybe we need to be shown how frightening and how serious it is that we use our talents properly. I hope that's not necessary for us. Maybe it is. But I hope that we can take as a lasting impression from this parable the beauty of it. I hope we can welcome the beauty of this image. What does God really want to say to each one of us? He doesn't want to say, you're a wicked, lazy servant, throw you out. What he wants to say, and what we want to hear, is, come, share your master's joy. So let's live in such a way as to hear this message from him. Come, share your master's joy.